This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Starting to make that breakthrough a little bit with sports. Golf has been, you know, out there right away after it was cleared to go. We have baseball, which is in, I would say, some sort of flux in terms of, are they going to be able to get this season in, or are there going to be too many knuckleheads who can't play by the rules and put the rest of the season in jeopardy? We'll see about that. But today, and this week in general, has been a busy week in our sport. There's been a lot of tournaments, a lot of getting ready for tournaments, and it's going to be a busy next few weeks on the local and regional level. And it got its start earlier this week here in Western Pennsylvania. We had the Assistant Pro Championship at Shanapan on Monday. These guys, out of this qualifier, we get two qualifiers and three alternates. The two qualifiers were Sam Berry of Pikewood National down in Morgantown. He shot 71-65. And Alex Patricio of Allegheny Country Club, who shot 67-70. The alternates were Gunnar Riley of St. Clair Country Club, Brendan King of Oakmont, and Talon Kriebel of Indiana Country Club. You know, these are guys who don't get a lot of recognition for what they do, but as assistants, they have to do pretty much everything. A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't see. So this is a chance for them to, A, get some recognition, and, B, get to go to Florida in a couple months. Who knows how that's going to work out, but they've gained this national recognition. On the tri-state side, they had the Dr. John Aber Memorial Tournament at Allegheny Country Club. And, boy, what a golf course and what condition it was in. It was fiery. It was bouncing. The weather was hot. And, as usual, there were plenty of surprises in how things worked out. Three under par, 67 was the winning score by Shaler High School grad and junior to be at the University of Findlay in Ohio, Tanner Gregorczyk. Boy, you would think a guy with my last name that I might be able to pronounce that, but that was a difficult one. Anyway, he had a one-shot victory over a couple other amateurs, Darren Kowalski and Austin Lemieux. And the Dr. Aber Golf Classic was played for the fourth time, and it honors the memory of a big golf contributor in Western Pennsylvania, Dr. John Aber, who is the father of John Aber, the pro at Allegheny Country Club. and also Stacy Creech, who is John's sister, and she played in the event for the fourth time. She's now based in Denver, and she comes back every year to play, and it's a pretty cool event. And of course, playing it at Allegheny is, you know, kind of a nice bonus to all that. And the other one that was played this week was the West Penn Amateur for the women. And there was a repeat winner there, Katie James, who belongs at Fox Chapel Country Club. She won it last year at Fox Chapel, and she won it this year. She shot 67 at Green Oaks, six under par. I'm sorry, they played it at 73. The closest one to her was Katie Miller and Jessica Myers of Oakmont. They were six shots behind. Katie James was just on fire. She had it to 8 under through 13 holes. And, you know, there were various possibilities over how deep she might go before it was over. But she made bogeys on the last two holes to finish at 6 under. And she admitted, she said, I have to admit, it got a little nervy out there on the back nine. But she's now a two-time champ in that tournament. She had six birdies, an eagle, and those last two bogeys. And if things were in doubt, when she made the turn, she went birdie, birdie, par, eagle. That's a nice little stretch, and that kind of puts up the sign that says, okay, here I am, come get me. And on this occasion, nobody did. So congratulations to her and all the other winners. We have, again, big stuff coming up this week. The West Penn Open will be played at Shanapan on Tuesday and Wednesday. And there are also going to be soon a couple state tournaments. The state open will be held at Oakmont the 10th through the 12th. The women's amateur will be at Lebanon Country Club, one of the historic courses that we have in Pennsylvania. That'll be this week, August 3rd through the 5th. And the other one that I wanted to mention was the West Penn Junior Championship, which was held at Grove City Country Club. 15-year-old Rocco Salvitti won, and he and the second-place finisher matched eagles on the 16th hole, I believe it was, at Grove City. They just hit as normal, ridiculous drives way out there. One of them used a 7-iron, and I believe Rocco played it a little more conventionally for his second shot. I think he had the layup and made eagle by sinking a chip shot. So, as I said, it's busy, and it's going to be busy, and that's good. We like it. Folks are finally getting a chance to play in events. But during the week, I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of folks involved in the golf industry, whether they were pros or people who worked in pro shops, all around. But the one thing that I'm not surprised about at all, and some of them were surprised, you remember back when we couldn't play golf because of the state regulations, and then came that time when they announced that everybody could play and the golf courses and clubs could open. Well, there was a big burst of tee times and people at golf courses, and, you know, tee times were hard to get if you weren't smart about getting them. And the courses were flooded is a bad word, but they were jammed. And it was that way for a lot of places every day. Well, what I learned was that that kind of enthusiasm was just not a burst of enthusiasm. It's been sustained. Golf courses are still doing a lot of business, which is great because, as we know, they lost March and April and some of May. And that enthusiasm has continued. Tee times are tough to get still. I know I played with foursome yesterday. We had a 9 a.m. tee time, and that was the last one until 5 p.m. Think about that. That's a long time. That's a lot of tee times. And what that says also is that golf is back, and golf courses and clubs are hoping to recover some of that lost income from March and April, and I hope so. I hope so for them because, you know, we're still hearing rumors about courses shutting. I think there will be news coming out maybe this week or next about a course being closed permanently. And as you know, or you may have heard, the Chestnut Ridge Golf courses and resort were sold last week in an auction. And a group from Houston, Texas, bought that. It's a pretty good golf course complex up in Blairsville, but they bought it for $2.4 million. They're going to leave things as they are generally, but they're going to ramp up marketing and do some show things to get that place on the radar if it's not already. And if you don't know, they have two courses up there. One is the old course, and it's been around a long time, and it has a lot of charm, I think. It's as much fun to play as the new course is, Tom's Run course. Tom's Run is, you know, all the new, it's been open a while now in terms of years, but it has a lot of the new design features that we see out there now, and it's a fun place to play, and it'll challenge you, but they have two courses that are very much different, but both fun to play. And we'll see what happens up there. And, maybe it can return to what it was several years ago. But we'll see. And that's pretty much the local look at what's been going on. And before we get to our first break, I want to mention that the LPGA is getting underway this week. They are playing at the Inverness Club in Toledo. Again, one of the great old courses in the country, and they're also going to be in the greater Toledo area next week, not like the Memorial did where they had two tournaments back-to-back, but there will be two tournaments right there in that area. So great to hear that. And this week it's on the PGA Tour, It's the first World Golf Championship of the year, and that is and why does the name escape me? It's the World Golf Championships FedEx St. Jude Invitational. Boy, sometimes, you know, you forget things. Well, after two rounds, our guy out there with some local connections, Brendan Todd, who grew up for a part of his youth in Peters Township, he is on this week, as he has shown us in the past that he's very capable of doing. He shot 64-65. It's a 129 total. And he is 11 under par and leads Ricky Fowler by two shots. Fowler shot 64-67. Brooks Koepka is tied for third. He shot 62 in the opening round, came back to 71 yesterday. With the PGA Championship, the first major of the year, coming up next week, Koepka is kind of a question mark. He's battling that bad knee that he has. And, of course, he had to take a little shot at Bryson DeChambeau, who you may remember in the first round was trying to get a ruling, obviously, in his favor because he said there was an anthill there and he didn't want to hit the anthill and, you know, risk ants being everywhere. So he asked for a ruling. He didn't get one. He didn't throw a tantrum like he had a few weeks ago with the official, but he went ahead and played, and Koepka hit one offline yesterday, and being the smarty that he is, he looked at his caddy and said, "I think I see an ant there. Is that an ant?" He didn't even ask for a ruling. He just went ahead and played. Two guys, two different philosophies, obviously. Anyway, that's what is going on and has gone on this past week. It is indeed golf season. While hockey starts today and we're heading toward college and pro football, we are in the midst of golf season. It's great. It's fun to watch these great young players play locally, and the PGA Tour is always fun. And like I said, we have the next major or first major of the year next week. They'll be playing at Harding Park out in San Francisco. No fans. There'll be no fans at the U.S. Open when it's played coming up. I'm thinking the no fans thing may not be going away. But we'll talk more about that as we go along. It is time for our first break of the day. We'll get a 2020 sports update, pay some bills, and when we come back, we'll talk about a new initiative that is being put together by the Tri-State Section PGA, and we'll do that after this break. You're listening to The Golf Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.